Blog Talk Radio.
Hello.
Where's the way, my boy? Hey, where's the way?
Everyone, welcome to Call to Serve. We are happy again to have another episode, and we are here with my co-host, Ms. Demetra Davis, and we have three exciting veterans in the house. Isn't that wonderful? What the introduction music was perfect for our affair tonight. Three veterans. Isn't that wonderful? All in one room. And we had to pull them out of the green room and put them behind the microphone. So, Deidre, Demetria, baby, how you doing today?
I am doing so well. Thank you so much. I'm excited about this show. I am excited to hear what these veterans have to say. This is going to be wonderful. So thank you so much for being here, and I know that we are closing out National Women's History Month, but we have these men here, and I am still excited about it.
Yeah, me too. So where do you think we should start?
I think we will just... let's just do some introductions. I have been reading about Lieutenant Colonel Schroeder and his organization. And so I think I will just introduce him and then introduce his organization. And then you introduce your guests. And I really think that, you know, between the three of them, there's going to be some good conversation. But, let's do that. I'll introduce Colonel.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
all right.
You have your introduction.
Yeah, I'll do that. So, my guest tonight is Lieutenant Colonel Dennis Schroeder. He is the founder of the Price of Freedom Foundation. He's retired Lieutenant Colonel from the Army, and I would like to welcome him to the mic so that he can tell us a little bit about his foundation and about himself so that we can kick this off, and then we will introduce our other guests so that we can just have a good time tonight chatting it up. So, Colonel Schroeder.
Thank you so very much. It's an honor to be a guest on your program. Yes, my name is Dennis Schroeder. I am retired Army Lieutenant Colonel, served 24 years. I was a Medical Service Corps officer. I'll be turning 67 here soon. The time sure has flown by faster than I have expected, and so too did my 24 years of service. The foundation that I started about 4 years ago is dedicated to collecting, preserving, and telling the life stories of our colleagues, our brethren, and our sisters who served and never got to become a veteran. So those who died mm-hmm. on military service to our nation. I believe that every person who makes that ultimate sacrifice, pays that ultimate price, deserves to be remembered and not simply become a forgotten piece of history. And so what we do is we go and take a deep dive. We produce full biographies. Our first story is actually currently at the publisher, and it should be out around April 24th. We're calling the book Silent Soul. It's about a sailor who, after 18 and a half years of service, was lost at sea and left behind a wife and three small children in October of 1998. And that's kind of it in a nutshell. And I don't want to take away from time for your other guests, so I guess I'll leave it at that, pending questions as we go on.
Oh, wow.
I can't wait to hear more about
Fantastic.
That.
Yes. Okay. Well, we will definitely talk a little bit more about that shortly after we introduce Daisy's guest. Okay. So let's move forward. Thank you so much, Colonel Schroeder. Thank you.
Well, we have Ronald Floyd. I forgot to ask him what his rank was when he retired. However, he is a former commander of American Legion Post 285 here in Baltimore, and he is also a member of the Sons of the American Legions. And I'm going to let him say hello, and then I will introduce our other guest.
Hello. My name is Ronald Floyd, as she said. When I retired, I held the rank of Sergeant First Class. And I did 22 years and 9 months. That's active and active reserve. I also, around 1995, I joined the post number 285 located in Baltimore, 2324 McElderry Street. And 5 years after that, I helped start the Sons of the American Legion, 280 Squadron number 285. So I've been a member of that for 25 years, and I've been a member of Northeastern Post 285 for 30 years. And I've enjoyed the rather long voyage that from start to, till present of serving our veterans, homeless veterans, hungry veterans, giving out clothing and also serving the community, with the school kids, giving out school bags and school books, pencils, papers, and all that, It's a pleasure, serving the community, the state and nation, and also serving for God and country.
All right. And now we have Commander Jamal Moses, and he is the commander of the Sons of the American Legions Post 285. Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here. And first and foremost, I just want to thank the two previous gentlemen for their service. It's real important that I acknowledge their service and what they've done. As the commander for the Sons of the American Legion for Post 85, we're dedicated supporting our veterans. We engage in a whole series of community-based activities that really acknowledge the service that men and women have provided in this country. We know that the American Legion started in 1919, and it started really as an organization that really heavily dedicated to the support of veterans by veterans. And so we at American Legion Post 285, as being a program under the American Legion, we take that honor very seriously. I have the honor of really working with our membership and really making sure that we're supporting the veterans in the state of Maryland and the city of Baltimore, but also providing support for their families. We try to do everything that we can to acknowledge the contributions that these men and women have made to the stability and the safety and the security of our country, while also making folks aware of how they can get more involved in the activities in relationship to providing services. And also, I just want to really acknowledge Daisy. I mean, Daisy, you're a veteran, and we as a Sons of the American Legion and the Legionnaires, too, we all love the work that you're doing because you're not only an advocate, but you're a strong support system and a role model for many of our veterans, but also a role model for those of us who haven't served and for those of us who want to see our veterans thrive and do better in the community. So, you know, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here, but it's more honor and a pleasure to serve and to provide resources and help to those men and women who served in our various armed forces.
Well, thank you for the compliment. I just feel as though, you know, what I do, it just comes natural because when you love something and you're involved in it, it's mm-hmm. not a hard thing to do. It just comes, you know, you just do it. And it doesn't feel like it's a strain or drain, you know. And I just enjoy being around my comrades. And I tell people when I was in the service back in the 70s, they weren't very kind to black women. You know, we had to really struggle during that time. But it made me realize that we had to give a little more to get a little more. So I appreciate that.
Hey, Daisy.
Yes.
Hey, Daisy. Jamal couldn't have said it better. He could not have said that any better.
Thank you. Well, let me just say also, Deirdre, I keep calling her Deirdre because one of my best friends, she reminds me so much of one of my best friends. I'm sorry, sweetie. But Demetra is also a veteran. So, hey, we got it going on here tonight. We really have it going on.
Yes, we do.
Well, I also want to say thank you to Demetra then.
Demetra.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
Definitely. Thank you. That should not be overlooked now.
Well, I would like to say from the engineering studio, thank you all for your service, for defending the freedom that we so carelessly take for granted. This is the perfect time to also let Daisy Brown know that your other guests should be on the line. Enjoy this amazing time.
All right.
Who is my other guest?
Oh, yeah, and I want to thank the Lieutenant Colonel there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I want the book. I want the book.
It was a true honor to serve. I really mean that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I would love to see this book. That is such a wonderful situation there for someone to actually think about people who, you know, didn't make it home or got home and couldn't stay, didn't last. You know, they got here, but, well, anyway, right. I just think it's a wonderful idea to honor people because in spite of the fact that they are no longer with us, they still have family. You know, they have loved ones who are missing the love that they would have been bringing back home with them. So I want to compliment you very highly for that idea.
Thank you very much. And really, in many respects, this is for the children they left behind and for future generations, too. Our first story was a perfect example of that. Alfonso Abdal Amos was actually born in the Philippines. He served in the Philippine Army before he joined the U.S. Navy at his father's behest, met his wife also in the Philippines while he was in the U.S. Navy. And when he was lost at sea, his children were 5, 10, and 12. And Josephine, who was the youngest, was starting to ask questions of her siblings in her late 20s, and was they were trying to get you know, the details of their father's life together so that she would have a better understanding of her father. The adults who are older, like myself, and were basically saying, oh, well, that was so long ago. Time is water under the bridge. We've all moved on. Once they involved myself and this organization, we were able to refocus it and not have it be an issue helping Josephine, that we do, but have it be something where we wanted to honor Alfonso. And I think all but one of the adults that had kind of given a gentle pushback all agreed to and completed an in-depth interview with me to bring back and tell the story as best they could recall it of Alfonso and how they knew him and what he was like. Something that their future children, none of his children are married or have children yet, but in most cases they will. So something mm-hmm. that they can pass on to their children so that they will know who their grandfather was. Also it was a benefit to his Navy friends, the guys that he served along with, being able to talk about him. And as we're doing investigations into the other three families that we're currently working with, I find this to be true, that there is a benefit to the veteran to be able to talk about and pay honor and tribute to a fallen comrade. It serves multiple purposes.
Well, you know, that leads right into our the campaign that's going on now to upgrade Dory Miller's medal,
Navy Cross,
and. That this is a perfect time to even mention that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sure is. This is beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah, they want to upgrade him from a Navy Cross to a Medal of Honor.
Right.
So I'm curious, Broder, how do you, I guess, first of all, does it have to be a family member that makes the recommendation
it does not. Well, for us to be able to go and do the deep dive and to start researching, we really do need the permission of someone who is directly connected with them, unless there's no one living. So we prefer a spouse, a parent, or a child of the fallen fallen service member to do that. But I will say this, that we also offer a service to veterans. So any veteran who had a comrade that died while they were in military service that wants to pay tribute to that person is free to do so at any time. And we will provide that platform for them to do so via video. So we try to make it easy so somebody can either call us and we can do a Zoom call and record that, or if they just want to sit down and have someone use a cell phone and record them talking about their battle buddy or whoever this person was and pay a video tribute to them in that way, that's fine too. Because I know that there's value in that.
Okay. So this is definitely something that I would like for us to probably discuss further, because there is a campaign for Dory Miller, who is a historical figure. He was active in civil rights. And the civil rights movement, but he was also involved in the Pearl Harbor, and so he does have a medal. But like the gentleman was saying, we do want to
work to get his medal upgraded. And so I think having something like this, you know, research into his story, you know, because mm-hmm. he does have a story. I think that would
Absolutely.
Be so helpful. So, yeah, so we definitely would, and of course, you know, trying to reach out to his family, you know, is not something that we are trying to not do. So
right.
that's something I can definitely look into doing, but would really like to move forward with doing something like this to help with the cause of getting his medal upgraded. So, yeah, this would be fantastic. I'm curious, so you have your first book coming out. How long does it take, or how long did it take?
This has taken us far longer than I anticipated. We started this 2 years ago in December. So almost 2.5 years, and I will have to say that a lot of it is because I was learning as we went, and
yeah.
learning everything about the book publishing process, and trying to find volunteers who had skills that I don't have. We had a wonderful writer who was the author of this book, who volunteered essentially 5 full months of his time to do this for us, and we had no money to pay him up front. So with book sales, we will pay him a royalty for every book that is actually purchased, so that he will get compensated eventually. But you know, finding somebody who has that dedication, the skill to be able to take. We had over 40 hours of videos, both of interviews and home videos, and the memorial service that the Navy had for Alfonso, and for him to go through all of that, to go through all of the photos, to go through and do historical research on, you know, where he was, what was going on with the ships that he was assigned to when he was there, that sort of thing. It took, and to tell the story in a way that it is not disjointed. I mean, because one of the things about today is that we have all the social media, but everything that you pull together of somebody's life, it's mm-hmm. a hodgepodge. It's like, how can
yeah.
you make sense of it?
Absolutely.
But he did a wonderful job for us, and so we're looking for additional researchers and additional writers for these upcoming books that we're working on.
Yeah.
So yes, 2.5 years was much longer than we wanted it to take. He was actually finished with the manuscript at the end of May of last year. The rest of it dealt with dealings with publishers and all of the things that went into that, and we finally found a solution that is working for everybody, and that's just it's finally come to that process. Will go faster for the future books. It would probably be, you know, less than 2 months for the second book from the time of the manuscript being complete. Now that I know the process,
mm-hmm. that's beautiful.
Our desire is our desire is also to tell the story through video. We do not have the capability to do that because what we really need is a filmmaker, somebody who has that mindset to put all of this together, to take those 40 hours of video and all the photos and to essentially tell the story in an hour to 90-minute time frame. I've got video editors that have volunteered their time and service to us, but they quickly became very frustrated, saying, "What? 40 hours? How can I go through all of that? And how could you're asking me to make these decisions?" We're still learning in that regard.
Right. Wow.
But
well,
but
know,
as regards the when I mentioned about the veterans paying tribute, that doesn't need. Shouldn't need much of any editing. That should, you know, be a fairly simple, straightforward thing that we can then publish and get on our YouTube channel and our social media channels and our website.
Well, there is a launching for the Dory Miller campaign beginning March 25th.
Okay.
And we're asking that people write in to the Secretary of the Navy requesting this. So we're looking for 10,000, at least 10,000 copies, 10,000 letters. Floyd, do you have any information about that or that you want to say anything about?
You mean Dory Miller?
Yes.
Well, you know, I've been, you know, my father was in World War II, and, you know, he was telling me about Dory Miller, you know, after he's long been out. And I also learned about him in school. And I've watched some documentaries about him on the History Channel. And, you know, it was quite a feat for this man to come up from below decks, you know, while the ship was being bombarded, you know, with the rest of the ships in Pearl Harbor, and come up and just, you know, manhandle a weapon that he'd never been trained on, you know? And, you know, and to, you know, I don't know if he knocked any of those planes down, but he sure, you know, sent them on the run, you know? So, you know, I think this man deserves, you know, and I heard he saved a couple of people, you know, in the process. So, you know, I think that, you know, we've come this far, you know, to just go ahead and upgrade this man's medal to, you know what I mean? Because you've got people that have medals of honor that did far less. That's the way I feel about it.
Okay,
I'd be
thank
happy
you.
To support that and help in any way that I can for that.
I would appreciate it. Well, Demetra will have information because we're sending things out to have people to, we have a sample letter that they can use, or you can write a letter on your own, and it just needs to go to the Secretary of the Navy making that request. It should be that 10,000 letters, when you look at the country, that's nothing. That's a drop in the bucket. So I'm hoping and praying that we will be able to accomplish this. We have former delegate Clarence Tiger Davis working on this. And usually anything he spearheads, it's a success. So we're hoping that, you know, he will... As a matter of fact, he will be our guest on April 13 right here on Call to Serve. And right now, I'm going to make a special announcement. The special announcement is that, you want to say it with me?
Mm-hmm. You go ahead.
We will be changing our name from Call to Serve to, what is it, Demetra?
It's going to be Pledged to Serve.
Yes.
Yes. I'm so excited.
And the reason we're doing that is we've been using Call to Serve because when this show first started, when my engineer, our executive producer, tried to... she talked me into doing the show, and we were mainly dealing with, because she always wanted a show to highlight and spotlight the veterans for their services. And in doing that, we found that so many people were doing so many other things even after they got out of the military that we don't want to overlook anyone. So those who are doing wholesome and beneficial things to help our country and our fellow man, we want to honor them. So we are changing it to Pledged to Serve. And I'm happy about that. Yay!
You know,
hello, Daisy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Daisy. You know, opened up.
Yeah. I'd like to. Is Jamal, you still on there? Hello?
Moses.
Yes, I'm still here.
All right. Look, I'd just like to let everybody know that, you know, Jamal and I are part of the same organization, and he is the epitome of leadership for our young people in the SAL, which is the Sons of the American Legion. And he always spearheads things that benefit the community and the veterans. And I just like to, you know, give him a shout out for that dedication.
Beautiful. All right.
Well, thank you, Floyd. And I do it because of the service of not only my father, but the service of the many veterans who really have done so much and continue to do so much to really honor the sanctity of this country. So. I do it because of that. But thank you for that announcement.
Uh-huh.
I tend to
this
be very.
This is a great show, boy. I'm enjoying tonight. I really am.
I like to ask questions, and so I would like to ask the American Legion a couple of questions, if that's okay.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
All right, wonderful. Thank you. So it seems that both of you have been involved. And Daisy, both of you have been involved with the organization for quite some time. And I'd like to just ask you, and I guess this could also go to Colonel Schroeder, but over the years, I'm sure that you've seen a lot of change as you have been involved with the American Legion, as you have been involved with helping the community of veterans. You know, in times past, you didn't hear thank you for your service. And so now that you have more gratitude given towards veterans, tell me what that's like. You know, what did it used to be like? What have you seen through the years and how that's changed?
Well, if I'm allowed to speak at this moment, you know what, in the last 10 years, I've seen the, you know, gratification of veterans grow, you know, with thank you for your service and oh, wow, you know, hey, I wish I could have done, you know, hey, I mean, you know, and I always, you know, I don't put myself on a pedestal because of it. You know, I say, well, look, you know, people tell me why they didn't. I say, well, you know, look, you see, it's not for everybody. It's not for everybody. That's what I tell them, you know, and I always say, well, you know, I'd do it again. I'd do it again. You know, if I had the right to live over, I'd do it again. You know, so I'm, you know, and it's always been a pleasure to serve, you know, in the military, you know, because the thing is, it's got to be done.
Right.
Right.
Yes, that's true.
I'd like to just add to that in that I think one of the things that makes the American Legion so strong, and I'll speak to the American Legion in Baltimore City, with a particular focus on East Baltimore, is that not only do we make folks in the community aware of the contributions that our veterans have made in the past in serving in the military, but also the American Legion is a beacon in the community. You know, people come to us when they're experiencing crises, but also we try to make a connection between what the veterans have done and also make people aware that their fathers, their mothers are veterans, have been veterans. And while you may not have served in the military, you still have an opportunity to contribute by being a Sons of the American Legion or being an auxiliary member. So, So while we really want people to serve, but the reality is you can serve in so many different ways. You can be involved in fundraisers. You can be involved in what we do with the schools and the community. You can be involved in what we do to uplift and to address violence in the city of Baltimore and violence in the East Baltimore community. So we try to help people understand that while you may not have served, still have an opportunity to contribute to the cause. And that's what the American Legion and the Sons and the Auxiliary are really about. It's about galvanizing the strength that exists in the community under the auspices of the American Legion and let people know that service is about being involved in the military, but service is about what can you do for your community, what can you do for your family, what can you do for the schools in your neighborhood. And so that's what we try to do through the American Legion and the Sons and the Auxiliary.
I love that. That's fantastic. And, you know, I see that including, you know, the Sons of the American Legion and, you know, the Daughters, I love that because it's legacy, you know, and I feel like this whole show tonight is about legacy, you know, and having the legacy by having, you know, history being put into a book. And, you know, so it can be passed down from generation to generation. And then, you know, having legacy in this organization where, you know, we're not only reaching out and helping the community, but we're also doing it by people who served in the military, but also the sons and daughters. And, you know, I think that's powerful. So thank you all for everything that y'all are doing to just help facilitate not just what veterans do every day, but what they have done and the healing process that all veterans and their families truly have to go through that people don't understand. You know, every day many veterans just have to go through healing. So I appreciate everything that y'all do.
Yeah.
Really do.
If you allow me to speak one more time, I'd just like to acknowledge the fact that Northeastern Post 285, you know, we any veteran that may fall behind in his gas and electric or fall behind in food or fall behind in his rent can come to us and, you know, put in a request for help, and we will help that individual and his family. Also, you know, if you got sons, if you have sons, you know, that's or brothers that's, you know, of a veteran, hey, bring them along with you. You know, hey, we could always use them in the Sons of the American Legion. If you have a wife's mother, daughter, sister, you know, bring them to the auxiliary. You know, hey, you don't have to put on a uniform to help out, okay? You don't have to do that. You know, you can help by just, you know, your assistance.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And that's got to make people feel so good, knowing that they can give back, you know, even as a family member. So that's very beneficial. Psychologically, you know, not just what you're doing for the community, but what you're doing for that person, allowing them to be able to give. I think that's wonderful. That's awesome.
I want to ask Lieutenant, how would we be able to get a copy of the book? Will it be on Amazon or?
It will be on Amazon and probably Barnes & Noble. That's one of the services our publisher, we're using Palmetto Publishing out of South Carolina. And if anybody is wanting to essentially self-publish a book, they're a great resource to help you do it at a very, very, very reasonable cost. So I'm putting a plug in right now for them because they helped us about 5 months into this conundrum we were in. To solve it. And it's very technical and detailed. I won't go into the details of it here. It'll probably bore your listeners. But I do highly recommend them because they showed us a pathway that we could get things done at a price we could afford. And they're helping us with the marketing and all of that when the time is right. But yes, it'll be on Amazon certainly, and most likely Barnes & Noble and a number of other online retailers. And they'll be doing print on demand with those. Hopefully April 24th is our target date, and I can update you all if that changes. But I would like to address the question that was asked before about the attitude and of the general public. Mm-hmm. I was in grade school and high school during Vietnam, and mm-hmm. we all saw how the nation as a whole turned their backs on the veterans who were in active duty, the people who were returning from that conflict. And it was a mm-hmm. shameful time in our history, and I have seen that change. I saw it change first, really, in the 80s when I credit it to one president and two movies. Now, I may be wrong, but President Reagan, for all of his good points and his weakness, had a very, very strong positive message that he always put out, and he was always very supportive of the military. And then the movies were an officer and a gentleman and Top Gun. And I personally felt the difference, because that was the first time when I would be walking around someplace off base in uniform that I had people come up, and they didn't have the term thank you for the service, but they just would say thank you. I'm glad that you're helping, that you're serving. Sometimes they'd ask me a little bit more details, but that has continued. And I will say that some of the veterans I talk to nowadays, are especially the younger ones, are saying, well, it seems kind of trite or rote. And maybe it is, because I just think people don't have the right words. They don't maybe know what to say, especially if they don't have time to sit down and have a cup of coffee with you. So I'm very accepting of that. And I always say it was an honor to serve, because it was. I had my father and all of my uncles were enlisted men in the Navy in World War II in Korea. My grandfather was an enlisted man in the Army in World War I. I was the first person in my family, and currently the only person in my family, who was able to become an officer, and that was only because I was able to get an ROTC scholarship. So it is an honor. It truly was an honor for me to be able to serve. And so, from that perspective, I love the fact that we have people who are thanking us for our service, because it shows support. And in my own organization, there are only two other veterans that are volunteers with us. One was the writer I mentioned. He was an Air Force criminal investigator, which really helped in that investigation process. And the other is one of my board members. Everybody else has no direct or even an immediate family member who has served, but they all have a heart for us that did and that do serve. And so I do see that as being present in our society today, and I hope that that continues.
Well, I'd like to comment about that. Being a female veteran, we don't get that acknowledgement. We can be standing there in uniform on Veterans Day, Memorial Day, Labor Day, any day. And if we're standing there in uniform with a male in uniform, they will walk up and shake his hand and say, thank you for your service. Sometimes they'll walk up and salute them and look at us like we're not even standing there. So that makes me feel, a little weird. And sometimes I have to actually speak out and say, I serve too, because I'm proud of the fact that I am a veteran, and I don't mind people knowing it. But
that you should do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we certainly have a long ways to go in our society to do that and to show the respect that you are due. I was a medical service corps officer, so I served with a lot of female soldiers, and they all deserved it. They all served and went through as many difficulties and made as many sacrifices, sometimes even more, because some of them had children that they had to arrange for childcare and all these other things than myself, and they all deserve to be acknowledged and recognized for.
Yes, yes, that's right. Wow, I appreciate you all sharing about that. My dad was a Vietnam vet, and he would often share what it was like when he came back from Vietnam. And so, for me, having served during this time in our country where people are saying thank you, and him serving when the country was angry, with the veterans, we would share those stories with each other. And so it's just interesting. And a question that I had, just curious how you all felt about that and those feelings of change, how society has changed when the veterans are truly still veterans. We're still
people. Yeah.
Well, my father was a World War II vet, and he loved what he was doing. I mean, of course, thank God he was not injured or anything, and he came home. And matter of fact, he and my mom were married 10 years before they even started the family, because he did his service and then he came home. But until he got his discharge, they never even started the family, so she was just home alone.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, I tell you what, I have definitely enjoyed speaking with you gentlemen this evening, and I want to open the floor to you to share your contact information, how people can reach your organization, Colonel Schroeder, how they can reach you, and definitely how they can request research into their family members or one
absolutely.
Of your. Yeah.
The best
please
way
share.
For them to reach us is through our website. It's www.priceoffreedomfoundation.org. And on there, there's a button at the top where you can request our services. And that's the best way, or if somebody wants to volunteer to be a researcher, to help us out, to be a writer, to in any sort of way. If somebody feels connected to this cause, and maybe we don't even identify what that role would be, you can define your role. We'll bring you on. We want to have you part of the team. Can also email us at info@priceoffreedomfoundation.org. You can call us at 615-389-1867. We're located in Middle Tennessee, about a half-hour drive north of Nashville. But that doesn't mean that that somebody who lives in Baltimore or Alaska or Hawaii can't be an active part of this. We're currently serving families, none of whom are based here in Tennessee. So that doesn't matter. We can serve wherever they are. And then the last thing I would say is that we are also on social media. We're on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, and YouTube. And if you search for the Price of Freedom Foundation, you should find us.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for being here. And the American Legion, you'll share your contact information.
Okay. For the American Legion, especially the post, it's Northeastern Post number 285, Baltimore, Maryland, 21205. The phone number that you can reach someone there is 410-522-0935. Okay, you We have an assortment of officers there from the commander, the first vice, the second vice, the adjutant, which you'll probably be interested in if you want more information on some support factors. The adjutant, her name is Cynthia Brooks, and she can be reached at the 410-522-0935 number. Or you may want to get in touch with the service officer. The service officer is mainly for those veterans that are in distress, that need, you know, may be short on their gas and electric payment, or short on their house rent, or maybe even need food and clothing for their family. You may use that same number to contact the service officer. At present, I don't know who fills that spot, but believe me, if you call and ask for the service officer, they will refer you to that person, or you may even get the commander. The commander will step in and fill that role. And Jamal will tell you about the SAL.
Yeah. Okay, so in terms of the Sons of the American Legion, again, we try to have individuals join who are sons who have had fathers, grandfathers, mothers or grandmothers who joined the military. Our contact information is basically the same, 410-522-0935. I am the commander, Jamal Moses, so if you call there, you can always ask for me. Ronald Floyd, as he indicated earlier, is our adjutant for the Sons of the American Legion. And, again, we try to do whatever we can to support our veterans. So we're really looking to expand our membership. And also want to say that if folks want to join, they can contact us. But if they live in other areas of the state of Maryland, we can also connect them with other Sons of the American Legion organizations. So we're really about expanding the membership really throughout the state of Maryland, because we know that anyone who joins can engage in activities that support the American Legion through the Sons of the American Legion.
Okay. All right. That sounds great. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you all for being here.
Yes, thank you so much.
It was an honor and a blessing. Thank you.
And all right. We look forward to you all returning. So, you know, if you feel like if something special is coming up. And, oh, you guys didn't tell us about your anniversary. What's happening?
Oh, yes. So this Saturday, the Sons of the American Legion, we're celebrating our anniversary. We have an event that we're hosting at Post 285, 2324 McAldery Street in East Baltimore, Baltimore, Maryland, 21205. It's from 6 o'clock until 10 o'clock in the evening. And I also want to say that any activity that we sponsor, 100% of our profits from our event goes directly to the American Legion. So we get no pass-through. We get no contributions at all that come directly to us. All of our money goes towards supporting the activities and the endeavors of the American Legion and the veterans that we work with in America, American Legion Post 285.
That's awesome. Well, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
All right.
It's
25 years.
Yeah. 25.
All right.
And I will be there.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's good.
Well, does anyone else have any closing remarks before we go?
I'd just like to say one thing. While I was speaking, I did not speak in terms of the auxiliary. Daisy, you're a part of the auxiliary. The auxiliary can be reached at that same number, 522-0935. They're in the same location, 2324 McEldery Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21205. And if any of the ladies or you know any young ladies that are connected with veterans, you know, hey, they are welcome to stop by or call, you know, for, you know, to see about membership potential.
Wonderful. Before we close, I do want to say our shows are archived. So anyone who you would want to go back and hear this show, they will be able to do that. So feel free to rewind and so the information is on the flyer that you got, so you know you don't have to say, well gee, you missed it last night, so oh my god, you know, just tell them to go on their computer, you give them the website. And I forgot to say, we are with Jumbo for the Soul International.
Jumbo Soul International, that's right.
Tribe Family Channel.
Okay,
and
well, I got one question.
Yes.
To your friend, is it Demetra?
Yes. Yes.
What branch did you serve in?
I was in the Air Force. My father was in.
All right, all right. Yeah, I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
Hey, but for Daisy, yeah. And the Lieutenant Colonel, I say whoa.
Oh Lord. Okay, so we want to thank Tribe Family Channel Gumbo for the Soul International for allowing us to have our platform here. This has been home for me for 4 years, and Demetria is just coming on board, and she's doing a wonderful job, and she better not ever think about going anywhere. So that's locked in stone. I think that if no one has anything else to say, we can get ready and close out for the evening.
Well, I would like to say something.
Oh,
I am the engineer, and I have received some information. In 1851, William Cooper Nail, in his dissertation, Services of Colored Americans in the Wars of 1776 and 1812, stated, there are those who will ask, why make a parade of military service of colored Americans? He then criticized the combination of circumstances which have veiled from the public eye a narration of those military services of colored, which are generally conceded as passports to honorable and lasting notice of Americans. 90 years later, on December 7, 1941, Japan attacked the United States at Pearl Harbor, inflicting devastating damage to the United States' war capabilities. When the bombers hit the West Virginia, its skipper was mortally wounded. Amid a hail of bullets and bombs, mess attendant Dory Miller moved his captain to a place of safety. He made several trips below deck, risking his life in toxic oil and water to rescue a number of sailors. He later manned an abandoned deck gun and took on the Japanese Air Force. The life-saving deeds of Miller are the equal of the valor of those who received the Medal of Honor at Pearl Harbor. According to the latest research, Miller was named in the after-action report by the ship's surviving officer, and eventually he received the Navy Cross. However, the information regarding his valor was not included on his Navy Cross citation, as is the practice in awarding honors such as his. Nearly 2 years later, on November 24, 1943, Miller was killed when his ship, Lipscombe, was sunk by a Japanese submarine during the Battle of the Gilbert Islands. It was public knowledge that Secretary of the Navy William Franklin Knox and others within the Department of the Navy, to include the commandment of the Marines, did not look favorably upon the service of African Americans. Secretary Knox was able to deter the advancement of African Americans in the U.S. Navy, preferring to keep African American sailors in the steward branch relegated to servient roles. Major General Thomas Holcomb said African Americans had no right to serve as Marines. He then added, if it were a question of having a Marine Corps of 500 whites or 2,500,000 Negroes, I would rather have the whites. Given these attitudes, it is clearly understood why the Medal of Honor was not bestowed upon Dory Miller. During both World War I and World War II, African Americans were excluded from such honors. In recent years, the process has been amended to allow for several African-American recipients of the prestigious Medal of Honor. However, the United States Navy has resisted corrective action. The Dory Miller Medal of Honor Committee urges all Americans to join this campaign for justice. To learn more about the Dory Miller Medal of Honor campaign or to support, please email them at info@thedorymillermedalofhonor.com or visit their website at www.thedorymillermedalofhonor.com. Thank you all for your service. Call to Serve will be back April 13th as Pledged to Serve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, also.
Thank you.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night.
Yes, this is America. My home, sweet home. God bless America.
God bless America. It's the land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her.
Everybody sing.
God bless America.